Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. We are back indeed. Welcome to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, with the most, the King of King himself. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only, and the man for the next 43 minutes will be praising the State of the Union address by Donald Trump is...
You have to be joking. Anyway, it is... Sean Black in the building once again. I almost forgot who the heck I was. That crazy intro you just brought out there.
Wait a minute. You know I tell like it is. You know I speak my mind. And you know
I don't know if you speak your mind as much as you may be out of your mind, but that's here nor there.
You know what? Out of my mind? I give you points for that. All right, no problem. Oh well. Then, if there's anyone that's listening right now, which I doubt it, who's on Sean Black Vault while we're doing the show right now,
you'd be surprised.
Well, we do have listeners now from Spain, Turkey, well, Poland. We also have listeners from Poland. I mean, we've really become more and more international. And once again, thank you all for tuning to the show, to Sean Black and I and the rest of the panel.
Yes, especially since this is episode 147. We're three episodes away from hitting 150. Maybe we'll do something like get a cake, like we did when we got our 1,000th listener. Maybe we'll get a cake and celebrate somewhere or something. Who knows?
I have enough diabetes. Thank you so much.
That doesn't stop you from flooding it with everybody with all that candy you did for your daughter's birthday not that long ago.
I don't want to talk about it. It's still, I'm still paying the price.
I understand.
Oh, well. The number is 347-989-8402. Are you ready to piss some people off for the next 40 minutes?
Why not? Let's do it.
All right. And finally, how you mentioned my daughter, Sean Black, because this past weekend we celebrate my daughter's, who just turned 2 years old. And really why we did not do the show earlier this week, because she got sick from the flu. And also my son is sick. So both my kids are sick. And as we know, right now it's like an outbreak or epidemic of the flu season. I know what Sean will say about this, but unfortunately I need to ask this question anyway. Sean, you know how I feel about medicine and all the pharmacy, all that BS that's going on in the world. And I always been against vaccines for me. Last time I got vaccinated, the flu shot, was maybe a wild guess, maybe 10, 12 years ago. And last time I received a flu shot, I got sick. I'm not saying I'm the healthiest person in the world. Sean Black knows I'm not, especially when I put my body. Well, other than that, this is like a serious question. Do you believe what the vaccine today works for our body? I mean, basically, do you believe that everyone should still get the flu shot?
I believe if you're in that risk... That risk area that they always talk about, if you are especially young, if you're young enough to get the flu shot or if you're old enough to get the flu shot, get it. There have been a lot of people that have been looking at this whole fallacy for the most part, that if you get the flu shot, you're going to get sick, mostly because all vaccines that are made have a deadened engineered version of a particular disease that you're getting. So if you're getting a flu virus, you're getting a mutated, deadened version of the virus. The difference between a bacterium and a virus is the fact that a virus can actually mutate and change. And the flu virus, the flu vaccine, every year changes because there's always a different strain that you have to combat yourself against. So the older strains of the flu virus that you get are protected for the most part when you get a vaccine. Now, not every vaccine is 100% infallible because there are people that are maybe allergic to certain ingredients in a particular vaccine, but for the most part, the things that people worry about, like getting the flu from the flu vaccine that just does not happen. Now, it usually takes about...
I got the flu. I'm sorry, Sean Black. I got the flu when I got the shot many years ago, and that made me stop getting it. But like I said, you're right about what you just said, but I just believe the vaccine doesn't work for every single person.
That's true.
Like you just said, you might be allergic to some parts. I was not allergic. I don't believe so, but I still got sick. So I'm telling you, so you call me like, wait a minute, the flu shot supposed to prevent or spreading of the flu. But unfortunately, not this season. They even admit the vaccine that people are getting may not be the right one right now. And that's why so many people are sick. It's come to a point. So I was very worried for my daughter, who's just turned two, which we believe she got sick from the party that we was at this past weekend, because God knows there was germs all over the place.
Yes.
And like, who knows? Of course, I got blamed for it, but that's a whole different story for another night.
Okay.
But other than that, it's like, this is like a no-win battle right now, you know. I'm like, yes, my daughter's feeling a little bit better right now, but now she still has a fever for like almost a week now. And it's very scary. And it's like, okay, so what do you do at this moment right now?
Well, the thing that a lot of people don't realize is when you take the flu vaccine, it usually takes at least 2 weeks for the inoculation to take effect. So once you get the shot, you're not going to actually be 100% safe from what the shot has given you. It takes at least 2 weeks for the body to get the antibodies from, to build the antibodies up from the flu vaccine. And also, the flu shot only works, I believe they said it's 30% or 35% effective against this particular strain of the flu that's been going on, that's been rampant all over the place. From what I've read, so far, up until a couple of weeks ago, we've had, I think, 8 children have died from the flu, including one in the New York tri-state area that I believe was in, I think it was in either Long Island or in the Bronx. I can't remember. I remember seeing it on the news. But what happens is that a lot of parents, like you said, that are fighting this whole medicine or a lot of the instances that are going on with people getting vaccines, there's been a lot of this negativity about vaccines. And
of course,
one thing,
the side effects. The side effects of vaccines. You don't know overall what you're putting inside your body, especially I think I'm arguing more towards the kids. Like, the reason why I brought this point up, because there have been a lot of fights over the years about what we put into our bodies, especially our children, because my kids right now, again, like, a shot for this, a shot for that, a shot for this. Like, wait a minute. Well, you and I grew up 100 years ago. We didn't ever see so many shots, you know, into our bodies. And each child, like I say, each child is different. And some, there have been times, and I'm sure you heard the story about kids who became disabled or paralyzed as a result of the side effects from these shots. So I'm just like, why the government is forcing us taking these vaccines if we don't know the side effects overall? Because, you know, almost every project today, all the so-called medicines are rush projects, because, as you know, pharmaceuticals is a trillion-dollar industry every year.
Yeah, and that's why you have so many cold medications and cough medicine and stuffy nose fever and all of that other stuff. But in general, we're talking about the overall act of vaccination. As far as I'm concerned, if you do not get your children vaccinated, even though it is a decision that the parent has to make, you're basically dooming your child, your family, and a lot of people in the country from potential outbreaks. Polio, rubella, mumps, measles, all of those diseases have pretty much been eradicated because of vaccination. And those vaccinations have gone on for decades and decades, and in some instances, over 100 years. So there is a lot of proof that those vaccinations happen. Now, what we've been seeing in other countries is that because of this war against vaccinations, there are some diseases that have started coming back, like the plague. The same black plague that we heard about back in the 1600s that was wiping out people all over Europe and everywhere, that made a small comeback because of certain areas in certain nations where parents weren't vaccinating their children. So that's one of the things that becomes a danger if you don't vaccinate, that keeps these diseases and disorders from becoming pandemics. The flu is basically becoming a pandemic because there is no necessarily no cure for the flu. You can only inoculate yourself for certain strains of it.
But the funny thing right now, there's a shortage of vaccines right now in the flu market. Go figure, because everybody's scrambling, getting worried right now. Do you smell something that's up right now? Like, all of a sudden, we're short on the flu virus vaccine? Does everybody need to get it? Like, do you think, where does this outbreak come from that nobody don't know about? I just never care much about medicine overall. That is my opinion. Mm. Like I said before, I do get sick, but not major sick. Not like Sean was last year where he was sick for like 2 weeks, I remembered.
Yes.
For me, I drink, so all the alcohol kill all my germs in my body, and I'm good. That's what I'm saying.
You have to remember one thing, that the way that the weather has been over the last few years basically creates trends for certain diseases. And if you remember this year, they talked about how the flu season actually started about a month earlier than normal. Most of that is because of weather change, climate change, what's been going on with the fluctuation and how climate change is going to affect not only just weather, but just in general growth, food. We had droughts, we've had fires out in the west. The increased hurricane season brought along much more moisture, so that you have much more moisture for the germs to breed. And then with all of the wind from all of these from all of the hurricanes and storms, it's washing a lot of this stuff up and down where it probably would not have been or as quick. So you got to bring that into consideration. Climate change and a lot of these other things bring a factor to everything that's been going on right now. And the CDC has actually talked about how between 2010 and this year, there have been between 12,000 and 56,000 deaths each year in the United States since then because of the flu. So that's the reason why, if anything else, at least keep healthy, but if you can, get the vaccine.
Okay, are you done, Dr. Sean? Dr. Sean, are you done?
Yes,
yourself?
Yes, I am done. I don't want you to get sick now, because remember, you said your daughter is sick. The last thing you need is for your daughter to get you sick and then you passing that around, because that's one of the other things that happens.
Don't worry. When we make our next time, I make sure we are protected. Thank you so much, Dr. Sean. Now, on to another doctor. I have Dr. Phil in the house. Dr. Phil? No, not the real Dr. Phil, the Dr. Phil, the Fishman Fisher, that fake doctor. Yes, Dr. Phil.
Sean, I didn't know you became a pharmacist.
I'm actually helping do your job for you, so congratulations.
Yeah. No, it's been so bad, you know, with the weather, like you just alluded to, and you know, the weather plays a part in it too, because one day it could be warm, one day it can be cold, and that's a big part of what's going around this whole since everything's been going on. And Tamiflu, nobody in the area down here, between all the local pharmacies, nobody's carrying it because it's going as fast as it's coming in. That's how fast the stuff is going.
Yeah, and you said with the weather, as you talked about with the weather in the New York area, just 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, and you remember this, Hot Rod, we had a 2 week span where the weather couldn't get past 10 degrees, at least 10
That's
to 15
correct.
Degrees. We had lows up here. I believe the lowest temperature we got was like 8-9 degrees in New York, which is, even though it gets cold in the New York area, it usually doesn't get that cold. That was a 2 week span. And then after that cold spell, it went straight up into the 50s for about a week. And then the cold came back. And when you have that fluctuation of weather, people are going to get sick.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, doctors. I have another doctor in the house right now, Dr. K-Dog. Dr. K-Dog, are you in?
Hey, fellas, I am in. What's up, Hot Rod, Sean, Phil, the Fishman, Fishel? What's up? Hey.
Nothing much. How you doing?
Oh, we're doing well, dealing with this crazy weather. As for the flu, I think that this is like end of last year, from December 2017 to now, it's like the air itself, it's making people sick, because I'm looking at the weather. Like right now, it's about 41 degrees and it's raining outside, but I hear that overnight the temperature's going to drop again, and
yep.
by this time tomorrow, it's going to be in the teens. So the air itself, you know, with this roller coaster temperature, people are getting sick. Seriously, it's you have to take precautions. You know, wear a scarf, a hat, gloves, keep your children warm, and plus, please be very careful, because especially for those who take public transportation or children playing outside or, you know, playing with other kids, they could easily catch it from a sneeze, a cough, and they're even saying that dogs can also catch it too.
Well, of course.
And that wouldn't surprise me.
The other thing that they talked about on the news as well, they talked about on the news that for those that are in Minneapolis, Minnesota for the Super Bowl, they said that the entire stadium and the areas where they have those the things for the fans, the NFL experience that they have, all of those fans come in during the week, during Super Bowl week, they have to wipe down seats, wipe down rides and the footballs and all of the other things, because as one of the doctors said, it's nothing more than a giant Petri dish. It's like a lottery. It's like you go into a room, there's a 1 in X chance that you're going to get sick. You multiply that by thousands and thousands and thousands of people every day going to see this experience, somebody's going to bring the flu somewhere, and someone's going to get sick.
Okay,
yeah,
guys. Well, see, I have to go to the next topic, but this is a short show. Sean, some good news for Donald Trump. His approval ratings have went off to the roof to 42%. I know you're going to disagree. I know you're going to run your mouth and blah, 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 blah.
Break out the champagne.
yes.
Oh,
this
brother.
Past week was his first State of the Union address. I mean, no,
State of the Union. State of the Union.
Well, if you went by the original tickets that went out, it was
State
of
the
Union.
Whatever.
Okay, I'll give you guys a couple of minutes. Sean, what was the problem with Trump's State of the Union address? Because God forbid you find anything positive about it. Entertain me.
Well, the one thing that he did is he tried to unify the nation based on his first full year in office. And in his first full year, he didn't get a lot accomplished, but what he did get accomplished, he will try and basically toot his own horn. For instance, he talked about the stock market. He talked about the tax cut bill, which was something that was pretty much the only victory that he could really pull out of all of the things that he did. Touted immigration. Although I don't like the fact that he tried to conflate the MS-13 gangs in the middle of the immigration talk, because it made it look as if he was saying that the reason why MS-13 is here is because of immigration, which is trying to connect the dots between Mexican illegal immigrants and this gang life. But that's another story there. He touted the unemployment dropping, which has dropped under Trump, but he's taking full credit for it when it was already dropping beforehand. If you're looking at the previous administration, Obama, when he first got in office, had a 16.8% unemployment rate that he dropped to 7.8% by the time he got out of office. Where Trump picked it up at 7.8, it's dropped to 6.8 in 1 year. So although it's dropped, it's not dropped as much, but he's taking full credit for the full drop. That's neither here nor there. One of the things that also he brought up in there, he was talking about the jobs and the economy and stocks and everything else. We know that the stock market has steadily climbed, yet wealth has somewhat dropped. And that's because of the stock market, only 84% of stocks can only be owned by just 1% of the public. So it's not like that those stocks, that economy is going into the people. That's going into hedge fund managers and property managers and people that invest, not the everyday regular person. So there were a lot of ups and downs, and for the most part, even though he stayed presidential, a lot of people looking at the middle of it, especially some of the racial tones that were taken, and I'm pretty sure K-Dog will probably talk a little more about that, much more so than I do.
Go ahead, K-Dog.
Well, when it comes to the racial overtones, listen, yes, that crime that happened in Staten Island was horrifying. What happened to those two girls, it was just an outrage that a gang would beat two teenage girls to death. It was sad. But yet to use what a couple of idiots did to push your anti-immigration reform, that was poor. You want to unify the country, let's talk about unifying. You can't talk about unifying the country, but yet you're still slamming people from other countries. That is not that's not calling for unity at all. You know, you gotta be on one side. You understand what I'm saying? You gotta be that unify. If you want to unify, talk about unity. Let's talk about how we can all work together.
Well, in some people's opinion, he unifying some people, his supporters. He's got his supporters together. Overall,
no, he is. He's unifying his supporters.
As we say this a million times on the show and all over the world, no matter what we think about Donald Trump, he has a strong followers, strong supporters. And like I always said before, that should be the scary part. Think about this before.
Yeah, it is.
For we've been talking about Trump for almost 2 years now, before the election, and now it's worse during after he won. Have you seen a much change, Phil, in the way American society is today? Like, do you see a unity towards Trump for Trump and against Trump? Like, compare this era now compared to Obama era.
I think over the last couple of years and since he's been office, I think I've seen more I've seen more against him than anything. And you look at, I mean, we've been doing this. You've been doing the show for how many years already? Even before Trump came in, and every topic on the show that we have talked, Trump has always done something or said something stupid, like the condolence call that he screwed up with, and then going into the whole thing about
excuse me, Phil. Excuse me for not calling you off. It's funny that you said it because Sean Black and I, every week we do the topic, we get our topics together. We're like, okay, this is our topic. But why did Donald Trump say something stupid? Well, we'll change the whole format of the show and we'll talk about that on Monday. It happens all the time.
Yeah.
It's funny
that
you say that, Phil.
And then, of course, you know, he's said about the countries that are bleep holes. How many times has he called, you know, a foreign dictator like that, Nuk Kim Jong, whatever the hell his name is, names? I mean, he's right. I think when it comes to Russia, we got to watch out for Vladimir Putin because I know Trump is finding a way to get on Putin's last nerve. So I think in this whole year, what we have learned is we have a guy that is on Twitter not watching what he says.
Exactly.
And that has been
okay.
I mean, you're the president of this country.
Mm-hmm.
And whether it's right or wrong or indifferent, you are the leader of this nation. Whether you're meeting in private or in public, you have to watch your mouth. You have to lead by example.
Yeah, you do have to lead by example.
Yeah, here's the ironic part. The ironic part of this whole thing is most people that were against Obama complained that Obama didn't do enough for, quote-unquote, our people, which is black people, helping his own people. Yet Donald Trump has gotten the office, and what he seems to be doing is fixing things to work for his base. He's doing pretty much the opposite of what people complained that Obama didn't do for, quote-unquote, his race. And it's actually gotten much worse in this sense.
All right, well, I send the statement out to Sean Black. I know you have an answer for this. President Donald Trump signed a new tax bill into law on December 22nd with no Democrats voting yes on the measure in either the House or the Senate. Only 12 Republicans voted no on the bill in the House, and only one Republican senator abstained from voting at all. the changes to the withholding tables are what affect what will affect Americans immediately. It will lower withholding throughout the years of most income brackets that will put more money in your pocket to start with. So I think what I mentioned, the approval ratings, that went up from what, 39 to 42 because of a tax cut. And now all these companies, quote-unquote, are giving out, quote-unquote, bonuses to the employees.
Yep, I'm getting one.
Like Twinkies giving out free cakes to the employees for a whole year. Walt Disney is giving out, excuse me, $500 bonuses.
Yeah, you had
to
choke that one out, Hot Rod.
For a personal reason, I'm choking on that one. What you guys saw with Sean, think about the so-called tax cut.
The tax cuts only benefit people within the newer tax brackets. If you're in a family that makes $75,000 roughly in that, you're going to see about $2,000 more in your paycheck from the taxes. But here's the thing. When you have this tax cut that goes into play starting this year, it lasts until 2027. Each year that the tax plan goes into effect, you're going to be seeing a shrinkage of what you do get from the taxes. And what will end up happening is by the time you get to the end, you'll be paying more taxes in effect. Remember, this is a $1.5 trillion bill. That is the third largest share out of that since 1940. That's that. If they were going to go with the initial tax package, which was supposed to be $5.5 trillion, which would have taken a hell of a lot more to pay back. But we're looking right now at people that are saying, well, I'm seeing a little more in my check. I'm going to see a little more in my check. The people that are going to see a little more in their check are not going to be the beneficiaries of this by the end of this whole deal. Now, mind you, the tax cuts at the end that business people get, CEOs and businesses, they're going to see a huge decrease in the amount of taxes that they pay, and that will be permanent. That doesn't expire. But the ones that are in the middle class, the people that are on the lower rung of the tax brackets that are going to see less that they can deduct, they're going to see whatever money they get up front out of their taxes will start to shrink every year. And once we get to that 10th year, it won't be there.
Well, Phil, have you seen more money in your paychecks now? I'm sure you make it $10 million a week.
I'm waiting. This Sunday, I'll see. I know I'm going to see a little bit more because where I work, we're getting bonuses, and they've categorized it into separate, you know, by years. I fell into the $250 category of being with the company for one to four years. I have a brother-in-law that's been with the same company. He's getting $1,000 just for the heck of it, because he's been there over 20 years. And then, of course, they're giving bonuses. Then I know I'm going to be getting a PTO payout because I have over 80 PTO hours. They're going to pay you whatever you have. Plus, I'm sure there's going to be a little they've been doing this the last couple of years. It's been happening. There's been being with the minimum wages, being up this year. I know down here in Virginia, it's going to go up to $11 an hour. I know I'm going to be getting a 27% raise, which will probably be only $2.27. So I know I'm going to be seeing a little bit difference in my paycheck. But at the end of the day, as you know, Sean and K-Dog alluded to, there's always a catch when it comes to taxes. You know that. I know that.
Oh, yeah.
If you're making between $49,000 and $86,000, you get a tax cut. There's going to be a small.
You will.
Nine tenths of the middle class get a tax cut. So by 2025, it'll be about 87%. But that tax cut will shrink. So you're basically by that time, you're going to be only getting $40 extra.
Yeah.
A paycheck for the tax that you get.
But to K-Dog, with all these bonuses and raises, shouldn't people be happy that more money's coming to their pocket overall? Despite that, I'm like, we all know there's a catch. There's no such thing as free money. But it's better to have something in your pocket right now compared to later.
Well, you know what? There's a trick to this, because remember, you know the saying that the tax people love coming after the regular folks first. And let's just say you're making below like $40,000. You could be getting hit harder with taxes. You understand? Some people who are making less. Those that are making less will get hit harder than those that are making more. And like I'd like to agree with what Sean and Phil had to say about it, because look, if you are making like between $50,000, $80,000, yeah, you get a small percentage of that tax cut, but the increase seems to come on those making less. Do you guys agree with that?
Yeah, and that's the reason why I've always said that this whole tax cut thing is a scam. Because
it is.
The rich,
it's
the filthy
ever.
Rich, will only
get
be richer. Paying 20% of taxes, as opposed to it being, it was at 32%, that's dropped down to 21%. So that
is a
huge amount of money that they're going
to
see.
And mind if I interrupt, trust me, I'm not knocking anybody rich. It's just the reality of it. This is what the reality of that tax cut is.
And the issue
less
with the whole taxes
and the rich pay less.
Yeah, the issue with the taxes were that it was like what Ronald Reagan did was, if you have the rich business owners pay less in tax, they'll have more money to pump back into their businesses and into their employees so that, they can take more money in and they can spend more and put that back into the economy. But as we have seen, and I've brought this up before, those CEOs that are going to be seeing that tax cut, they're putting that money right back into their stockholders' pockets. The employees
are
not going and doing any of this stuff. And if you've seen, since this tax, all of this tax stuff has happened, how many businesses have we seen on the news talk about we're closing businesses? We're losing. Toys R Us is closing down a bunch of businesses. Macy's is closing a bunch of businesses. All of these people that are working there now, true, a lot of those businesses already were mismanaged. But we all know the reason why this is happening is because they don't need to pay the money to keep a lot of these other businesses open. Why? They're going to pocket more money, and then they're going to shutter away businesses so they don't have to pay any more of that money so that they can give bonuses to the other people that are going to stay. And that's pretty much the principle of what's going on right now.
Because of all that, isn't this why Donald Trump is in office in the first place? Because the rich, he's looking out for his own people, the rich people.
The problem is he's supposed to look out for the entire
country.
Not just the
exactly.
rich. And that's what the issue is, because the rich now
have
that's
what you believe, though.
No, that's not a belief, because this is what's going to happen.
It's a well-known fact. It's a well-known fact, because, listen, when the rich people... This is what's going on with the rich.
I'm sorry, kiddo. Did Obama do anything for you, as people would say? Does Bush do anything for you overall?
Well, let me just say this. All I got to say about that is that it was the same thing. It's the same thing that goes on with the taxes. Now, with Obama, he tried his best to lower the taxes for the lower class, but did it go through? No, it didn't. Now, with this, what's going on is that the rich get richer and the poor don't get nothing. Because why? You're going to hurt the regular folks. You see, I like to quote something that I saw on the Cosby Show. Do you remember when they say that about working a minimum wage job and how cheap it's going to be? And what did Cosby say? What did Dr. Huxtable say to Theo? He said, the reason why you're going to pay high taxes is because the tax people are going to come for the regular folks first. They come for those who are making less.
And we also have to stop this assertion that Obama didn't do anything for, quote-unquote, anybody. If you remember, the majority of the policies and things that he tried to put in, I mean, he was able to get some things passed, but the majority of the things that he wanted to bring between infrastructure and tax code reform and some of the other things, because of the obstructionary things that happened in
Congress,
he cannot pass anything through. And if you remember, Mitch McConnell himself said, we're going to do everything we can to make him a one-term
one-term president.
You can't govern when you have no help at all. That's
exactly
the problem.
And Obama tried his best, okay? That, and you know what? Hey, I don't care who disagrees with me. Text tomorrow and say, oh, he didn't do nothing for you. Let me tell you something. It's about time you do something for yourself. Stop asking the government to do things for you, because you know what? The government can't do anything for you. You have to do for yourself.
Well, that's
if
apparent because the government
done,
can't get out of their own way.
And you know what? And if you need something done, that's where your local politicians come in. Go to your local politician. You know?
Before I move on, so anything else you'd like to add?
Not really, but I will say the only thing that what President Obama did it that I didn't like that he did was forcing everybody to have health insurance. And the reason why I say that is you get health insurance, you got to pay them. If you don't have a job,
yeah,
how do you pay your health insurance?
You can't do that without a job.
Exactly.
That was the premise behind the Obamacare mandate, was that if you didn't have a job and you could prove it through the what was going on through the website and the individual markets, you didn't pay anything. And that's the big misnomer that a lot of people are looking at. That was the premise behind the mandate.
Here's the thing, Sean, and the thing is, if you didn't have insurance regardless, when it came to tax time, you got penalized.
Yeah.
You were penalized, God knows how much money, because you didn't have insurance, and it depended on how many months throughout the year you didn't have insurance.
Yeah. I think it was $694. And
if you don't have the money for that, how are you going to pay for something like that?
That's why
you didn't apply for health care in the first place.
And the point behind go ahead.
And I will tell you, as far as insurance, half the time I think they're the biggest bunch of crooks.
They really are.
Oh, yes. Some insurance companies
saying.
Are crooks.
I mean,
I could agree with that.
I mean, I deal with this on a daily basis. I mean, some of them, you know, the Medicare B, which pays for glucometers, test strips, Lancets, all this stuff. The shit that my elderly customers have to go through to get these things. You got to have this on the prescription, that on the prescription. Otherwise, they ain't going to do anything. And then you have all your other insurance companies. You have a deductible that you have to meet. And it's highway robbery. And Humana is the biggest fraud in it all. They're the ones with the high deductibles.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I have to move on to the next topic because we got 6 minutes left. And talk about fraud that you just mentioned, Phil. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to switch it up a little bit tonight and talk a little bit about sports for the next few minutes. Like I told Sean, one thing I hear about the media, we overhype everything.
Exactly.
Lately, there was talks about LeBron James ready to talk to the Golden State Warriors.
You got it. That was a joke.
That's when I heard that, ladies and gentlemen, like I told Sean, it's like, you got to be effing kidding me. If LeBron James, I know he's up for free agent next season. I know Cleveland Cavaliers are having a lot of problems right now, trying to get their image together. But to all the LeBron James supporters and fans out there, yes, I am a hater. I never care for LeBron James. But if LeBron James, quote unquote, do talk to the Golden State Warriors, another team I can't stand, and decided to sign with the Golden State Warriors. Sean, do you agree this will tarnish his legacy as the greatest of all time or his records, period?
It definitely won't help his PR. He would lose a lot of credibility because a lot of people gave him hell for leaving Cleveland initially to go to Miami. Because everybody thought he was going to be that guy that would stay in his hometown and win his championship. But we understand why he left.
We passed that. Yeah, but
yeah.
We passed through that.
He
area.
Got past that. He won his championships. He went back to Cleveland when no one thought that that was the case. And he ended up going to the last three straight NBA finals. He got a ring with Cleveland, and he got his credibility, and he got his street cred, quote-unquote, back. Now, if he was to go up and leave to Golden State, he would be looked, instead of being the great one, he would be looked at as the hired gun, because he would basically be going just to chase championships as opposed to staying in Cleveland, which, in all reality, they don't owe him anything. But if that was his choice, it would kill a lot of his reputation in a lot of
eyes. I agree.
Yes, I agree.
I understand if he leaves Cleveland. That's his business. He could do whatever he wants. He like Sean said, he has nothing to prove in Cleveland. He did his part. He brought them their first championship in that era. But Phil, Phil and K-Daw, do you see this as a new trend now of KD did it? Now LeBron's thinking about it. Do you see it as these athletes, instead of, you know, if I cannot beat them, I join them type of trending right now?
You know,
that's absolutely
what's causing the mess. That is causing a mess in the sport, because let me tell you something. All the greats, allow me to talk about all the greats. I'm going to be brief about it. Did you see Kobe leave the Lakers? Nope. He stayed with them till the very end.
But Kobe wasn't drafted by the Lakers. Remember that. He was drafted by the Hornets.
Yeah,
and
he was
got himself traded to Los Angeles. So
to Los Angeles, but however,
anybody remember this for who? Yeah,
but however,
He stayed in the Laker regardless. Even when the Laker was garbage, he still stayed there.
He still stayed.
You know, he didn't jump ship like LeBron. Like, oh my God, I can't take the team no more.
LeBron, I don't know. He jumped from Cleveland to Miami, then back to Cleveland again, and now he's trying to go out west. I'm like, are you serious, man? Seriously?
Or we're assuming that that's where he's going. Nobody knows what his plans ultimately are, although that's
true.
What we're hearing about.
But like I said, as the media love to hype things up, well, if it's true, you know, don't be that naive, LeBron James, to go to, you know, a team that's already dominant already. Like, does the Golden State Warriors
need LeBron
James?
Let them beat you how many times?
If it happened, I really wonder if the NBA would get into it the same way they did when Chris Paul was initially traded to the Lakers, and then they rescinded that trade, saying that it wasn't going to be a good trade at all, and then he ended up going to the Clippers instead. If you remember, New Orleans made the trade for Chris Paul to the Lakers, and then the league got involved, saying, "Oh, it's not that good of a trade. It's going to hurt New Orleans more so than it's going to help the Lakers." And then they rescinded that. So what would happen there? Find out.
A lot of people would be very upset and do not watch the NBA again. And I guarantee you, if that happens, the ratings, except the Golden State Warriors, the ratings overall might go down a little bit, just like the NFL. And we got a minute and a half left. So I want to recap about Super Bowl 52 coming up this Sunday, a.k.a. the worst Super Bowl ever.
Yeah.
By the grace of God, the football gods up there, allowed the Eagles, Philadelphia Eagles, beat Tom Brady and the Patriots, excuse me. Do you think because of Nick Foles or the defense that will help beat the Patriots? Phil?
I think a combination of both, because we've seen what Nick Foles can do when he's hitting these wide receivers. I mean, the way they blew past Minnesota was ridiculous. So they are capable of beating the Patriots. But here's the thing. If you have a lead like the way Atlanta did last year, you cannot relax. Because if you start to let Tom Brady get his momentum, you're going to pay for it. And that's the lesson right there.
Quick, Sean, 20 seconds. And let's say the Eagles do win. What people will be talking about? How Eagles beat the Patriots? Or they're just going to talk about Tom Brady nonstop?
It would probably be much more so what did Tom Brady not do to win, as opposed to giving the Eagles their credit. That's probably what would happen.
And K-Dog, are you still rooting for the Patriots or the Eagles?
I'm rooting for neither, despite the fact that I despise one more than the other.
Well, here's something
okay.
that's going to make you hate him even more, is that Rob Gronkowski's been cleared from the concussion protocol.
Yep.
So he's going to actually play on Sunday. So you got that.
Yeah. Oh, well, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in. Have a good night. See you next week. Good night, everyone.
The pleasure was all yours.
The pleasure was all yours.
Be safe, fellas.
Later, guys.
Night.
Bye, guys. Night.